A piston twin hits a building in Florida, but the pilot is the only fatality. The airlines admit March was another tough month. And a proposed Florida spaceport gets closer to construction. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, April 20th, 2009. The death of an 80-year-old pilot has been confirmed by his wife following Friday morning's crash of a Cessna 421B into a building in Oakland Park, Florida. The Miami Herald reports the plane took off from Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport at 11:15 a.m. Eastern Time on Friday. Airport spokesman Chaz Adams told Transworld News, quote, "Shortly after it got in the air, it did report trouble to the tower. The tower cleared it to come back and land. In trying to make it back, that's when it went down," unquote. An unidentified woman reportedly called WFOR television to say her husband had died in the crash. Citing reports from neighbors, the Herald identified the victim as Cecil Murray. It appears the building hit by the plane was unoccupied. Officials say the pilot was bound for Jacksonville. Witnesses reported seeing flames from an engine nacelle before the crash. ANN will have details as the investigation proceeds at aero-news.net. The Air Transport Association of America, a lobby group for the leading U.S. airlines, reported last week that passenger revenue fell 23% in March compared to the same month last year. That makes the fifth consecutive decline. ATA reports U.S. passenger traffic down 10% for the month. Declines extended beyond the mainland United States to transatlantic, transpacific, and Latin markets. Compounding the softening passenger demand, U.S. airlines saw cargo traffic revenue by ton mile drop 21% year over year in February, matching the decline in January and marking the seventh consecutive month of declining cargo traffic. Notably, cargo traffic in the Latin region fell 27%. ATA President James May commented, quote, "We are seeing first quarter 2009 earnings for the U.S. airline industry that reflect the adverse conditions impacting the broader economy. While the industry faces demand uncertainty as we head into the summer, we certainly would like to believe that we have seen the low point," unquote. The National Transportation Safety Board's urgent recommendation last week that all Zen Air Zodiac CH-601XL light sport aircraft be grounded immediately has won the praise of a lawyer representing the family of a crash victim. Ladd Sanger is a commercial pilot and attorney who calls the 601 the Corvair of the air, referencing the Chevrolet Compact of the 60s, known for its aft CG and resulting tendency toward oversteer, complicated by suspensions on early models that were prone to tuck under in hard cornering. Ralph Nader's campaign against the car launched his career as a consumer advocate. Sanger has been retained by the family of Dennis Levy, who died in a Zodiac August 14th last year. Sanger calls the NTSB's action last week heroic. Quote, "Just 2 weeks ago, I inspected the wreckage of this aircraft and was astounded at the numerous poor design features of the aircraft, some of which do not even meet the minimum FAA standards," unquote. It's not clear whether Sanger understands that Part 23 standards don't apply to LSAs or home builds. He notes that in addition to the aerodynamic flutter issue mentioned by the NTSB, the plane has a canopy which, if it's accidentally opened in flight, blocks air to the tail, causing a loss of control. Sanger claims he's worked hundreds of plane crash cases. The FAA has issued a favorable environmental impact assessment for a proposal to construct a commercial spaceport at Cecil Field near Jacksonville, Florida. The report clears another hurdle to construction of a launch facility, which could eventually see a launch per week. The Jacksonville Business Journal reports the FAA was required to look at potential federal policy violations, safety issues, and environmental issues, including noise. The public's objection to excessive noise at Cecil Field is the main reason the Navy stopped using the former military base altogether. The Jacksonville Aviation Authority initiated the licensing process after a 2006 Florida Space Authority report said Cecil Field is the best airport for aircraft-like launch vehicles. The reusable spacecraft launched from the site would take off horizontally rather than vertically. A public comment period on the proposal will end on May 20th. There's a public hearing scheduled for May 14th at the Cecil Commerce Center. Up next on ANN, Boeing's 2009 net orders are back in positive numbers. NASA gets more support for increased funding. And JetBlue shuffles executives again. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal Tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies and high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 20th. I'm Paul Plack. It took till well past the end of the first quarter, but Boeing finally has a positive net order total for 2009. Cancellations of previous orders for the 787 Dreamliner pushed net orders to a low of minus 13 in February. But the Seattle Times reports Bahrain's Gulf Air has exercised 8 options for the mid-sized 787-8 variant, leaving Boeing's net for the year at plus 4. The company has also logged orders this year for its perennial 737 narrowbody and big 777. There's no guarantee net orders will stay above zero. 2009 is expected to be a tough year. Last week, Boeing said it would curb production of all wide-body aircraft in 2010, and many analysts expect similar news for the 737 at some point this year. A report out last week from the Congressional Budget Office warns NASA will fail to meet its agenda over the next decade unless funding to the agency is increased by $2 billion a year. Florida Today reports the CBO also found that 15 of 79 planned missions would be delayed even with an additional $2 billion a year, and that extending the shuttle program 5 years while continuing development of its replacements would cost another $4 billion a year. Former astronaut James Lovell recently called for the $2 billion annual increase. Quote, "It is imperative that NASA receive sufficient funds from the national budget to move on to the next phase of space exploration under the Constellation program. This is not a bailout for the agency, but necessary financing to accomplish all that NASA has been tasked with doing," unquote. For the second time in as many years, JetBlue Airways shuffled top executive positions last week and announced company president and chief operating officer Russell Chu will step down from those roles later this spring. The Associated Press reports Rob Marooster will take over as COO, and JetBlue CEO Dave Barger will add the title of president. Chu will step down to become a senior advisor. All those changes happened June 1st. Chu is a former FAA official who also spent 17 years at American Airlines. He joined NetBlue in March of 2007 and was named president 6 months later. Barger said of Chu, quote, "His influence in helping us improve operational performance, as well as developing the architecture of our strategic planning function, will continue to benefit JetBlue far into the future. On behalf of JetBlue's 11,500 crew members and our board of directors, I thank Russ for his service and commitment to JetBlue," unquote. Marooster joined JetBlue in 2005 as VP for Operations Planning. Following a 12-year career with Delta, he was also handed responsibility for the customer services group last year. The Associated Press notes JetBlue faces 2009 challenges, including a down economy and new competition at New York LaGuardia from Southwest Airlines. The NTSB has issued its preliminary report on the August 5th crash of a World War II vintage Curtiss Wright P-40 fighter off the coast of New York. The crash claimed the life of the only person on board, veteran airshow pilot and vintage aircraft enthusiast Robert Baranaskis, who was practicing aerobatics. The report notes conditions were VFR when the plane entered a half Cuban 8 at an estimated 250 to 260 miles per hour. The plane entered a spin about halfway through the maneuver. The 61-year-old pilot's 28-year-old son and airshow team co-member Chris was observing from the beach. He estimated the plane had slowed to 100 to 120 miles per hour, which he called too slow when the spin began, and lacked the altitude to recover. You can find more detail, including observations of other witnesses, in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Still ahead, EADS supports splitting the KCX contract award. Florida commits to more support for space ventures. And Bonhom missed it by that much. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, April 20th. I'm Paul Plagg. Endless military contract battles make for strange bedfellows. Some in the U.S. Congress have suggested that the way to resolve the twice-stalemated aerial tanker contract competition between Boeing and Northrop Grumman is to split the work between the two companies. EADS, the European Aeronautic Defense and Space Company, has gone on record saying it would participate in such an arrangement. The tanker proposed by Northrop would be based on an airliner built by EADS' subsidiary, Airbus. The New York Times reports EADS CEO Louis Gallois said Thursday that as long as his firm could build a minimum of 12 tankers a year to ensure support of a proposed new factory in Mobile, Alabama, he'd consider the deal. Boeing spokesman William Barksdale said his company has no comment yet. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has said the split contract would cost taxpayers billions. Quote, "I think it's bad public policy, and I think it's bad acquisition policy," unquote. Gates has promised round three of the competition will get underway this summer. Like many Florida airports that were built during World War II as training bases, the new Smyrna Beach Municipal Airport has seen residential areas built up around it over the decades since. Predictably, despite the fact the airport was there first, city officials find themselves forced to study noise abatement. The preliminary findings of a federally approved airport noise study, conducted by a consulting firm, apparently are not what the mayor and his noise abatement committee wanted to hear. The East Volusia News Journal reports that the first part of the study, performed by ESA, was presented at last Thursday's meeting of the committee and concluded that sound levels did not meet significant noise impact thresholds. Residents and local lawmakers suspect that the three-day period during which the study was conducted may have had unusually low numbers of flight training operations and may not be representative of what residents put up with on a typical day. ESA project manager Ron Seymour says the comments are typical, quote, "We hear them all the time," unquote. In a time when state budgets are being ravaged by the recession, Florida has demonstrated the priority it places on remaining a leading center of space exploration and research. On Thursday, a bill sponsored by State Representative Dorothy Huckel to establish a multi-university space research and development institute unanimously passed the Florida House of Representatives. House Bill 69 creates the Space Transportation Research and Development Institute. The institute will partner with the FAA, NASA, and other federal agencies in pioneering space transportation technology and will work closely with academic institutions throughout the state to provide groundbreaking research. Huckel says, quote, "With the end of the shuttle program rapidly approaching, this legislation will create and save high-tech jobs in Florida's space industry by providing for innovative research opportunities," unquote. The bill was co-sponsored by 35 other House members. And finally, Britain's Paul Bonhom finished 0.89 seconds behind Hans Arc of Austria in the first race of this year's Red Bull Air Race World Championship in Abu Dhabi on Saturday. Nicholas Ivanov of France took third. Nigel Lamb, another Brit, proved he'll be a contender this year, taking fourth. And Australia's Matt Hall, one of four rookies this season, had an outstanding performance to finish fifth in his very first race. The 15 pilots represent the largest field ever assembled in the race, which features single-engine prop planes weighing 540 kilograms, flying with great precision at speeds up to 370 kilometers an hour, and enduring forces of up to 12 Gs through a pylon course that's barely off the deck. Last year, more than 3.5 million fans around the world attended the Red Bull Air Race World Championship, which also drew an estimated 500 million TV viewers in 115 countries on six continents. ANN wishes all the competitors well in 2009. We also wish the races were carried on Universal Sports instead of all that track and field stuff coming from Europe. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We'll discuss the difference between instrument rated and instrument proficient. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.